gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Make life worth living.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Why?
I mean when I come in Monday morning and I get the box office numbers for Sexy Liberal in Seattle. Woohoo!
Were they off
we
the
exploded,
chain?
We exploded the box office for Sexy Liberal Seattle, which just went on sale Friday, and VIP is almost gone. OMG.
In a world with Washington gridlock, Tea Party obstruction, economic chaos.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
There's only one way to get into the holiday spirit.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's kick back and get into the spirit.
Just in time for the holidays, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Seattle. On Saturday, December 14th, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and your favorite progressive radio star, Stephanie Miller. Will perform live at the Paramount Theater in Seattle, Washington. Tickets are available at stgpresents.org. Come celebrate Christmas Hana Stefa Kwanzaa.
The war on Christmas was worse than you thought.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, December 14th at the Paramount Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to stgpresents.org.
Thank you, Shano. Very, very exciting. The Sexy Liberal machine is all revved up. We'll have maybe two more Sexy Liberal 2014 announcements this week. Very, very
wow.
exciting. Debbie writes, Steph, just had to tell you you made me late for work on Friday. I was frantically purchasing tickets for the show in Seattle since I doubt you will ever perform in my hometown of Willits, California. That was a good guess. Debbie, that's good. Willits? I don't even know where that is.
It's got the Willits Arena that you could play in.
Sure. My husband and I will meet a dear friend in Seattle. She is also a step head. Went all out for the VIP tickets. Looking forward to seeing you. Deb, I can't wait.
If you will, they will come.
Exactly. All right. Lots to get to. Oh, and Rocky Mountain Mike. Bunch of step heads coming from all over the country. We think we're going to have like cast members perform ConStar, stuff like that live.
Wow.
Maybe some of the Rocky Mountain Mike holiday favorites. Things you can pick up on Politically Incoherent, his Rocky Mountain CD starring Jim Ward.
That's right.
Right.
You can pick it up at Amazon and iTunes, among other places.
Right, including their brand new hit about the Obama website.
The bill. If I don't pay up, will I go to jail? Remember when they used to turn you down? Whoa! And then you'd be chapter 11 bound. Whoa! And now the website is healthcare.gov. They beat up on it and they say it's fail.
Glitch, baby, they're on the site that we launched at the end of September.
Just logging in.
Wait, there's more.
There.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
I looked it up. It was called The First Class, that band.
That's
1974.
Wow. Thank you, Jim Ward.
I'm pretty sure one-hit wonder.
All right. Is it just me? Are they running out of different, Armageddon Chirons? Healthcare, blah, blah. It's going to be fixed by the end of November.
But
everybody calm
it,
the
Armageddon
down.
Tired of it.
Yeah.
But there are reports out this morning that it wasn't just the sheer volumes of people, that there were actual coding things that were wrong with it shouldn't have been there.
It should have been fixed.
Yes.
Right. They hired a fixer.
Yes.
Website equalizer.
They've got a surge.
Whatever you call it. And it'll all be fine. Is it just me? They have every... I think the media is so invested in... Is every story the end of Obama's presidency? Some new alarmist. Yeah,
that's a little screechy.
You can almost hear the air raid siren. Website debacle. Ugh. Remember Syria? Oh, another Obama debacle.
Why are we at war yet?
Is this the end of the Obama presidency?
That gets a little screechy.
Oh, my God, Benghazi. Will Obama be in... For God. Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
But more and more Democrats are becoming very concerned.
I know.
Okay.
Because they're,
okay.
they're panty waist douche nozzles.
They are not panty waist.
Oh,
no,
yes,
they're
they
not.
Are.
They're. This is really affecting the presidency.
Oh, please. We just won
the impression.
A huge political victory by standing together. Just everybody, they're so easily panicked. God. They have the like a flinch, like a.
It's not their fault.
I didn't say it was their
You're
fault.
You're kind of blaming it on them.
Julie in Seattle
You're saying
writes,
they're flinchy.
Julie, who already has her VIP tickets for Seattle, writes, Mama, I went to healthcare.gov, checked the boxes, I wanted dental plans and healthcare, and entered my state, Washington. Boom! Was at the Washington State site, reviewing a smorgasbord of affordable choices within 2 minutes. Affordable care? If only someone had thought of that. The fact that the histrionic reporting on Obamacare website problems, yes, complete with air raid siren, thank you, oh my God, is ignoring the fact that the real problem is 27 states who dug in their heels and are doing everything they can mm-hmm. to not make it work for people is only slightly less infuriating than the giddy glee with which the left-wing wonks and the mainstream media are reporting on this like it's doomsday, seemingly heedless of the fact that the political defeat of Obamacare would put 30 million people back into permanent without putting them back into permanent worry, suffering, financial ruin, and early death. And how about these me first, to hell with everyone else, senatorial turncoat a-holes? And she tweeted, profiles and cowardice, these 10 Democratic senators put their careers ahead of the survival of the ACA. I think it is too soon to panic. I agree with her. Anyway, Julie, this is for you, Jim. She says, luckily, all this will soon be moot as another 7.3 quake off Fukushima and a tidal wave warning are coming across the Twitter wires.
Yeah, that was worrisome on Friday.
Oh, well. Never mind.
Yeah, stop eating sushi, Steph.
Yeah, the Pacific is crazy.
I had sushi both nights this weekend.
Why? There was an earthquake in Fukushima.
Before the Fukushima tidal wave hits. It can't be fish from that. I'm getting the last fish before the Fukushima tidal
wave. You're getting the irradiated fish from the last Fukushima right now.
Oh, well. Turn off the lights. Do I glow?
I wouldn't doubt it.
I'm sorry, Jim. What were you going
to
say?
If you prick me, do I not glow?
Excuse me, Jim?
Shakespeare.
Oh, right. Pardon me. My mind went somewhere else. Uh-huh. All right. I was on Ed Schultz show on MSNBC. He's a fine fellow. Because it just, this is what I hate, is when we're doing Sean Hannity's talking points.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you see he was fact-checked hard?
Yes, he was.
And Hannity gets fact-checked. He gets knocked into them boards so hard. But
he was fact-checked on a new a-hole.
Right?
Yes.
But this is the kind of stuff that happens routinely and then just gets repeated over and over. He cited Consumer Reports, and of course Consumer Reports had to say, stop it, you Nimrod.
Yes.
Despite Consumer Reports having rebuked conservatives who misconstrued their position on healthcare.gov website, Sean Hannity repeated the dishonest spin in order to demonize healthcare reform once again. In regards to acknowledged bugs in the system, they advised still confused readers to hold off briefly before they sign up. Well, while they got the bugs out, is all they're saying. So, of course, Hannity just used four words. Consumer Reports says, stay away from healthcare.gov.
Which
the
is
implication
not what they said.
They said at all.
Right. They wrote, pundits opposed to the new health care law and some media outlets have tried to suggest that the coverage of the troubled healthcare.gov site means that Consumer Reports has turned against the Affordable Care Act. Not true.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
And then I love this story. So we got the worker fired from he called the Obamacare hotline.
Yep.
And so, they're not supposed to talk to the media. So she got fired. Because he called, but it was just like an opportunity for him to go, oh, here is a year's salary, which is like $26,000, which he has in his ass crack. That's like a, that was just what was stuck in his couch, for God's sake.
Can you say that on the air?
I don't know, but I just did.
You did. Should I bleep
you? What does he make a year? 20 million something. It's just like, oh.
$1 trillion.
What a nice guy. Okay. I think you pulled out of your crack.
You're right. Oh, you bleeped yourself that time.
Well, I listened to you.
He almost bleeped the Merchant of Venice. You didn't
recognize
it. I didn't. Well, it came from you. You know what? I know what I was looking at. Hang on. This is why what I had in my mind. Because Somebody sent me. Oh, Jesse did. Meet Mr. Balls.
Oh,
come on.
Yes.
Seriously? Have you seen this?
Yes, in Brazil. He's like the spokesmodel for testicular cancer or something.
Yes. Wow. Yes. That is really graphic. And there's a woman there, the guy there holding a baby.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, it's Mr. Balls.
And he's got hair.
Oh, that's... it's gross. Hi, Mom and the Mooks. Meet Mr. Balls.
Does it remind you of Roland?
This is some music.
Or Dan Balls of the Washington Post?
Right.
Hey.
Meet Mr. Balls, a Brazilian testicular cancer
who
awareness
group.
Who
hasn't had a Brazilian, apparently.
No, he's not.
Who needs a Brazilian badly? Oh, not just on his head. It's, oh.
On his head?
Well, the head of the...
of the balls.
Character. Right.
Is that like the leader of the pack? The head of the
I
balls?
Need to send him a no-no hair removal device.
You really do.
The leader of the sack.
Oh, on Monday, firing up the shoot.
The
like nobody...
first 15 minutes of the show.
Wow. All right, you can go now. That was
okay.
Awesome.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Good night. Kidding. They've created a mascot for the cause that is beyond disturbing. Say hello to Mr. Balls. Or Senor
Cojones.
Testiculoco.
Testiculoco.
Testiculoco. The wide-eyed, dual-toothed, rosy-cheeked, mole-sporting scrotum.
What is it, a mole?
I don't know. That will cause a lifetime of nightmares for anyone who lays eyes.
Is it like a Cindy Crawford mole?
Some things I should not read right before the show, because then I'm just... that's just in my head. No matter what anybody caller talking today, blah, blah, blah. Mr. Balls just keeps popping into my head.
Mole, like that rat-like creature with the
yes.
sharp teeth?
Yes.
Yes. Ugh.
Which you don't want around your...
No.
You know.
No. Those. Okay. All right. Leader of the
wow.
sack. Okay.
Is this in favor of testicular cancer?
No.
No. He wants you to get checked for
yes.
testicular cancer.
Well,
or he wants you to check yourself or whatever.
Right.
It's a young man's disease.
Okay.
So I'm not too worried about that right now.
Oh, right.
Anybody with that set of equipment
things.
Can get it.
Talking to you, Ankle.
I believe what? You have that set of equipment.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. It's,
18...
you know, it's mostly for okay. guys in their 30s have to worry about it.
Okay, we need to get off the Mr. Balls.
Ball talk.
Right. 18 minutes.
Welcome to Ball Talk.
Sorry about the Red Sox. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely little lump.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
And the Ira Gershwin Award for Lyrics goes to...
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Rude Pundit joins us at the bottom of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
His stuff is shockingly rude this week.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, looky here, Ted Cruz. 10,000 Texans line up for Obamacare outreach event. Huh. It seems like people are hungry for information about their affordable care options. In Texas, a statewide education outreach event focusing on the new Affordable Care Act drew more than 10,000 people to the Dallas Convention Center on Saturday, which was hosted by Blue Cross Blue Shield, more than 30 community partners to provide health services and information. Apparently, contrary to the naysayers, affordable health insurance is sorely needed in this country, including in Ted Cruz's home state.
That's right.
Of Texas, where he was busy breaking the Reagan rule or whatever they
whatever.
Call it about speaking ill of fellow Republicans.
He was speaking ill of a bunch of
right,
people.
At the Reagan dinner.
Yeah.
Ron. Okay. The president talking about the Affordable Care Act.
We are going to get it working as smoothly as it's supposed to. We've got people working overtime 24/7 to boost capacity and address these problems every single day.
Surge, a tech surge. We're in the midst of a tech surge.
Yep.
I hope we have a surge protector as well, but we are... he is on it. By the way, you know, Paul Krugman makes a great point about why is Obamacare... complicated, and a lot of times when we're taking calls and we go single payer, yes, that would. But he makes good points about why politically we weren't going to get that. But, yes, that would be easier. He said, he writes, basically, Obamacare isn't complicated because of government insurance programs have to be complicated. Neither Social Security or Medicare are complex in structure. It's complicated because political constraints made a straightforward single-payer system unachievable. He said, you know, it's designed to be a complicated system that is, in the end, supposed to more or less simulate the results of single-payer. But obviously, you know, because you have to keep private insurance companies in the mix as part of what the problems are right now. He said this doesn't make it unworkable. State exchanges are working, and healthcare.gov will probably get fixed before the whole thing kicks in. But it did make a botched rollout more likely. He writes, he's right to say the implementation problems aren't revealing problems with the idea of social insurance. Because, again, you know, you can cite veterans, you know, the VA. Mm-hmm. You can cite Medicare, Social Security. But he says, anyway, which all the same fear-mongering was happening about back in the beginning. Anyway, they are revealing problems, he says, with the idea of social insurance. They're revealing the price we pay for insisting on keeping insurance companies in the mix when they serve little useful purpose.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of this, too, as we were saying. A lot of people are reflexively going to blame Obama for anything because they just do, rather than the insurance companies who are using, some of them, using this as an excuse to gouge people. All right, anyway, so he writes, Paul Krugman says, so does this mean that liberals should have insisted on a single payer or nothing? No, single payer wasn't going to happen, partly because of the insurance lobby's power, partly because voters wouldn't have gone for a system that took away their existing coverage and replaced it with the unknown. Yes, Obamacare is somewhat awkward kludge, but that's what it took to cover the uninsured, so be it. He says the odds remain high this will work and make America a much better place. And that seems to be, you know, the consensus.
Reagan did a whole album warning people about the dangers of Medicare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Socialism. Creeping
one
socialism.
Day, we'll tell our children we used to live in an America that
was free. We used to live in an America that was free. Now it's expensive.
Oh, it's the weekend, so that means you haven't had time to spray Trolbegon?
Oh, no, I haven't.
No.
Oh, God.
Hi, Gary in New York. How are you? Hi, Gare.
Fine. How are you today?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to speak. I was out of town for a couple of days, and the spying situation on the other countries.
Yeah, that just happened. Were you just gone for a couple of days?
It kind of started under
Bush. Yeah, just for since Friday night and stuff like that.
Right.
I just was wondering
why. Well, George Bush is the one that ordered Angela Merkel's phone to be...
In 2002.
Yeah, in 2002.
Right. So, okay, but, you know, we hit it back then. I guess nobody found out. But the fact of the matter is that they found out about it now, and that's what I'm wondering. And for him not to know what was going on, I'm just wondering why he doesn't know what's going on underneath him. He doesn't seem to care, even with the health care. He won't answer questions. He'll put it on.
He doesn't care about health care.
He hasn't answered questions.
What's happening with health care, he doesn't care.
Dude, he just had an hour-long press conference where he answered questions from the press. What do you mean he hasn't answered questions?
You can accuse him of a lot of things, but not caring about his signature legislation is not one of them.
Yeah, not caring about what's happening with it. He doesn't seem to care much. He just says, go talk to Kathleen Sebelius and blah, blah, blah. Go talk to her.
Right. He said that for an hour, Chris. He just said, go talk to Kathleen.
Yeah, that's all he said for an hour. Sure.
Right. Yeah, name is Gary. My name's Gary, anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's the important point.
Yeah. You're just like, they're as bad as the fucking website.
Oh, wow. Did you get that? Okay. I could have seen that coming if I was a little brighter. That was a big F-bomb.
Yeah, big F-bomb.
All right. Nice to talk to you.
If you want to hear the F-bomb, just subscribe to the StephCast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy your
apparently, minutes. Obama is shiftless and lazy because he doesn't care about the Affordable Care Act.
Jim, you're missing the important point. And the important point is that name was Gary.
God. You can just smell them coming. You
all
just,
right.
You know.
Yeah, we need to spray the Trolbegon.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
By the way, it takes me a day because I am a little slow, but I know what the new talking point is. And a lot of the people that got through last week are like, I am a Democrat who supported Obama, but here is my concern. Michael, not you. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We need to discuss our problem with
Stephanie Miller.
Her little habit of personal amusement is getting way out of hand.
Oh, cat and dog team up for covert escape. Oh, no. Oh, that's going to be the Chiron on Fox. Oh, no, not just dogs and cats living together because of Obamacare. Working together.
Mm-hmm.
The cat is doing a doorknob and a dog. Okay. Let's talk to these
Sleep up at the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm a little sad.
Why is that? Why do you have the sad?
I have the sad because of Lou Reed's death.
Yeah, that's sad.
I know.
His album New York was a very formative piece of work in my developing liberalism.
It's not such a perfect day today.
No.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
That was the anthem for your walk on the liberal wild side. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, definitely. And you know, you need a busload of faith to get by.
Yes, exactly.
Now, Rude.
They used that song in a play I was in, actually.
Wow. Rude. My friend,
yes.
Love your thing about Republican governors are hurting more people than the ACA website, which is a really, really good point. You say, it's a programming cluster of Windows Vista proportions. Oh, now, come on. That is a cut too deep.
Now, did you try Windows Vista?
You say, although Republicans bear a great deal of the blame here for trying to undermine it every step of the way because they're sore loser mother... whose ideological narcissism would make them their own if they could contort themselves enough. Now, that's just I get it, theoretically. But because that's the thing. You're right. This is the crisis of the week, right? The website, which is going to be fixed. You said, instead, let's turn to the real Obamacare crisis caused by Republican governors around the nation. And you talk about this is one of the underreported stories, that the main reason the Affordable Care Act will fail to cover millions of America is because states run by the aforementioned suckers refuse to accept 3 years' worth of 100% funding for the expanded Medicaid for people who are dirt poor but not poor enough for Medicaid in its current form. I mean, that really is beyond a moral outrage, isn't it?
Right. And 25 states currently are not accepting those funds. Now, it was 26, and I think it was just last week or the week before that Ohio's John Kasich said, okay, you know what, let me not be, a total a-hole here. And went ahead and accepted the funding for expanded Medicaid. But yeah, I mean, there's a huge number of people. You know, we're talking nearly 5 million people who fall into that coverage gap.
Yeah.
And currently there is nothing that can actually help them. That's built into what the Republicans wanted to do.
But you say it beautifully. You say the action alone will ensure that a large number of their uninsured citizens remain uninsured, thus potentially costing the states far, far more than accepting the funding, even in the long term.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're looking at people who are only getting, catastrophic or emergency care at hospitals, then again, that burden falls on all of us, and it helps jack up health costs all over the country.
Yeah,
so, you know what I was wondering is, why are Republicans not owning the disaster, in quotation marks, disaster of the website? Because, you know, this is what they wanted. So why not instead of getting out there, chiding people and having hearings about who screwed up, why not take a victory lap, you know? Say, hey, we did this. It's like when somebody claims responsibility for a terrorist bombing. You know, you did it. Hey, take the victory lap.
Well, and as we were saying, not the least of which is that the Affordable Care Act was designed for states to run their own exchanges. So, you know, all these states' rights people are the ones that said, no, you run it. It wasn't designed for this many states, right, to be, run by the government, right?
Right. No, and that, again, that's one of the quiet ways that they could undermine the law, was to make sure that the burden on the federal government was so heavy that there was going to be at least an overwhelming response.
And you make a good point about the hearings. This is the play they run every time, whether it's Solyndra or Benghazi or whatever. And they're not interested. Spend that energy instead of investigating, trying to help fix it. Right.
Right. you know, like what Democrats did during the Medicare Part D, debacle, which at the time was, you know, that was, I can remember writing about, you know, saying, oh, it's terrible. It's, you know, why, but it wasn't, you know, let's just toss the whole thing into the garbage can. It was, wow, this is really screwed up. I probably blame general incompetence in the Bush administration. But it was, okay, Democrats approached it with, well, let's fix it. Mm-hmm. Let's make it better.
Right.
Let's make it work because it's the law.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you say, to put it simply, Republican governors and legislators have decided they would rather have sick poor people in their states than free money to give them health insurance because the money comes from the black man who's president. I mean, and you say, once again, the GOP is doing real and actual harm to Americans. And you're right, nobody's really reporting that very much.
No. Again, you know, these are people who will see other states and wonder why their state is treating them differently.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, our good friend, our mutual friend, Alan Grayson, you like the current that he's stirring up. You said he's Representative Alan Grayson of Florida is dangerous because he's a rich-ass liberal who doesn't give a That's damned invigorating because, frankly, the left needs more people who don't give a who have given up on the niceties and demure decorum by which Democrats especially are supposed to act in Washington. But it's this fundraising letter he sent out, right, comparing the Tea Party to the Klan.
Yeah. Isn't it a beautiful thing that I mean, it's, I don't know if you've talked to him about it on the air yet.
I haven't yet, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the burning cross with the words as the T in Tea Party with a couple of Klan members standing there watching it. It's so in your face. It's just amazing. And I loved him on every show, just sitting there saying, no, I stand by it. I'm not apologizing.
You say it's completely without nuance, way over the top, and totally necessary. You say, why necessary? Because it's now forced Tea Party members to jump out and demonstrate that they aren't racist, even if you know they are. And you say the other beautiful thing about Grayson's comparison, anytime racism does crop up at Tea Party events or Facebook pages or comment threads, it simply proves his point. And you say, that's some Karl Rove in his prime right there.
And I've always said, you know, the Democrats need their Karl Rove. You know, they need somebody who's going to go out there and provoke and force them to answer for things and you know, make them have to tie themselves in knots in the attempt to answer these things. It's really beautiful.
Well, and, you know, the fact is, obviously, there have been a lot of these racist signs and things at Tea Party rallies. And so you got to, I mean, that's the thing to try to say that's coming out of nowhere, right? You know, when you're waiting, look at this latest one, them waving the Confederate flag in front of the White House. Well, what does that mean exactly, right?
Right. And when there are left-wing protests, you know, who gets the media on it? It's the people that, you know, go off and start breaking the windows of Starbucks or something instead of the majority of the protest. So the right was able to manipulate that to discredit protests, whether it's against the World Trade Organization or against the Iraq War back in the day. So why don't we give them a little bit of their own medicine?
Yeah. By the way, and I know that you didn't want to put my name in here because you knew you were going to talk to me today, and I know you're talking to me. Your piece about drones, you said no to Obama supporters who get nutsoid at any hint of negativity from the left. You should have just put, talk to you Monday, Steph. You say the rude pundit can in the same week support President Obama on health care reform and attack him for drone missile murder. It's like you can love your husband for being such a good father but hate him for being such a... delay. Now, rude.
You might think the reverse about Obama, but that's, you know.
Yeah, well, I've been accused of, you know, of having carnal knowledge of him, so I guess I should know from all the email I get. it's not that I don't get the concerns. I just, you're right, you and I disagree on that, but I just think that what happens is it becomes just a solid wall on the right of stuff that the president is wrong on or responsible for. So, it just becomes a cacophony in my ears.
And I agree, you know, but what should happen to go with the noise thing is that the right's complaints should become white noise and then people on the left that say, okay, this is a problem,
those
should
be
heard.
Those stick out.
Yeah. If you want, here's one possible spin on this, on what's going on with the NSA spying on Angela Merkel, which of course did begin under Bush. It didn't start with Obama. And Obama has apparently told Merkel he didn't know about it. What if the possibility is that the NSA has gone rogue? Mm-hmm. What if, as a way to justify the budget that they've had for surveillance, they've just gone rogue and said, you know what, we're just collecting everything to find something to justify our existence. And what if Obama isn't being told what's going on?
Right. No, and I understand.
That's the kindest way I can spin it.
No, I understand that, and I understand the who is it that said, obviously the original thing was you have to have a haystack in order to find a needle, but somebody said if it's too big a haystack, it makes it even, sometimes it can make it harder to find the needle. So
And you're not going to find terrorists by bugging Angela Merkel's phone.
You will find out what sort of schnitzel she likes or whatever it is. Not schnitzel.
Right,
what am I thinking?
Strudel?
Bratwurst? I don't know. I'm thinking of something.
If she ordered out for delivery schnitzel, there you go.
There you go.
But it was Bill Maher this weekend who said that, it's sort of like the NSA has become hoarders. And that if you watch these shows, the people that hoard are just sad and can't find anything because they have so much crap lying around.
That's a show, NSA Hoarders. I like it. All right. Rude, great stuff this week as always. Talk to you next week, honey.
Bye.
Bye. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Everybody dance now.
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 It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Eric Bollard.
Now's not good for me. Sorry.
Okay. Eric Bollard of Media Matters. After the top of the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, Nick in New York. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I just am absolutely mind-bogglingly fed up with people complaining about the website. I'm a senior systems analyst for... They claim to be the largest brokerage in the world, but who cares? It's a ludicrous amount of money.
Not towing the company line, are we? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm just, but who cares? But we have rolled out over the last year and a half a program that brokers used to trade the rich guy's money.
Right.
And it's junk. And I've been doing this for 30 years. When I say it's junk, it's junk. And they have not threatened to fire the president of the company. They haven't tried to fire the president of the rollout team. They haven't tried to fire anybody over it. You know what they do? They just shut up and fix it.
Right. Right. And really? There were no hearings?
I missed the memo if there were.
Yeah.
It's just so pathetic. I will admit, bleeding heart liberal. Single payer all the way if we could get it.
Yeah.
Idiots won't. But the fact is that this program had zero time. They say it had 2 years. No, it didn't, because it wasn't being developed for 2 years.
Yeah.
It had weeks. And you can't test. And our program, by the way, services 40,000 people and still doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 250 million calls in the first week. Really? And you think that's not maybe a little bit of a stress test? It's just, if they couldn't lie, they couldn't talk.
Yeah.
I
think, and as somebody wrote that, and I think it's true, Nick, it's a website. Americans get it, it'll be fixed.
It's a website. It's just totally crazy. And as I have said to every political call to come to my house, I will never vote for a Republican as long as I live unless they can actually stop lying and start doing something for the people that elected them.
Who is the dog that is punctuating your very, very good points?
Oh, yes, that is my dog, Wallace, with his friend Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit, the buzz! Okay.
Yes, and they are.
Oh, what out of cheese!
Thanks, Nick.
Even the vet tells us they're funny dogs.
All right, thanks, Nick. Yeah. Oh, but they're handsome and romantic, I bet. Wallace and Gromit! What's he saying? He was punctuating the particularly good points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to feed him sausages.
And so another thing.
That's out of my house. I talk back to MSNBC and then Max and Fred. That's right. Good
move,
point.
Move.
Right. Is that right? Right. Thank you, Max. Thank you. Right?
I like to listen to both sides.
Oh, and then there's also the sound of... What's that you say? Sad little life? Yes. Yes. It works for me. Oh, looky here. Echoing Nick's points. Nick and Wallace and Gromit. Healthcare.gov will work smoothly by the end of November. Guy they hired to... the fixer. That guy. Said, over the last week, we worked with a team of experts to conduct an assessment of the overall state of the healthcare.gov site. The system is getting better. There's a lot of work to do, but healthcare.gov is fixable, and they're saying by, you know, December 1st, it should be, you know, hopefully the kinks will be ironed.
Well, then why aren't we extending the deadline a couple of months on the other end?
Because...
To give people the equal amount of time that they were.
Give it 1 second. I know, but give it. I mean, I know, but that people are still getting on and getting insurance
I know,
now.
I know. But if people wanted to hop on to get it out of
Look,
the way,
if I thought for 1 second that the Republicans were trying to be helpful in any way, like Nancy Pelosi said, "Oh, we appreciate their newfound interest in getting this
right.
to working smoothly," they're just trying to do anything they can to delay so that they can.
Believe me, I know. But I think Jean Shaheen has a good idea. Just
I disagree. I think they're panty waste.
Well, what about the people that tried to hop
back.
On? The people
got
that
their lace panty.
Right, right, exactly. I heard you.
No, you didn't hear me.
I did hear you.
Because you were talking over me.
No, I heard you. Gawker brings us the story. Thanks, Obama. Florida man blames the president for his arrest. A man arrested by deputies in Florida for allegedly assaulting his pregnant girlfriend.
Thanks, Obama.
Became the living embodiment of the Thanks, Obama meme after he tried pinning the blame on the president. As he was being escorted to the squad car, he began rambling on about how Obama is right. Obama said cops always listen to women. Okay.
Whatever.
I don't remember when the president expressed that thought, but apparently he thought he had some backup from the president. Okay, Kevin in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, I got I want to give you several, you know, comments on, you know, about the, you know, the NSA wiretap, the NSA thing, and
yes.
the Affordable Care Act, okay?
Yes.
Here's the thing, I'm not going to debate the, you know, the rights and wrongs about that. That's not what I'm going to do. But what I am infuriated about is the hypocrisy. Because one, you know, when 9/11 happened, American people were furious about that, and went up to Congress, which was, you know, as you know, Republicans control all three branches. We were like, when I say we, I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about, you know, everybody in the damn country. They're like, look, we want you to go after these terrorists. We want you to do this, and we don't care how. Congress said, okay, we'll do it, but you're going to have to ease off the Constitution a little bit. What did the American people say? Yes. So this machination that the NSA has created started in the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had a problem with it.
Yeah, no, we said that it was the Patriot Act. It was, you know, we were scared, and I absolutely think we should look at it again because go ahead. Sorry.
Right. So here it is now. It comes. Here it is. The Obama administration, and he has the unfortunate. He's very unfortunate in the fact that, you know, stuff is leaking out. So what's good under the Bush administration ought to be good enough under the Obama administration.
Kevin, you seem to be implying that if we had a terrorist attack on President Obama's watch, the Republicans would not all come together as a country as we did after 9/11 and supporting President Bush. Is that what you're implying?
No, no, no.
Do you think in some way they would blame President Obama for being weak on terror?
Oh, no. Believe you me. I was up in my seat cheering when I heard that, you know, Obama got Osama bin Laden. Okay. I'm progressive as they
And
call.
I'm sure you enjoyed all of the commentary on television about how that was really a victory for the Bush administration. What?
Man, I mean, you find comedy in everything. I mean, for them to say that, you know, oh, Obama got him because of Bush. No, you did not. Let's set the record straight.
I remember. All right. I remember Meet the Press. It was like a bunch of those little, nodding dogs in your car window. Everyone was like, well, I think we can all pretty much agree that this was a Bush administration. I was like, right. Wah! What now? 58 minutes after the hour. Eric Bohler next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why? Because I love Seattle with the heat of a thousand white hot suns, which they need, Jim, because it rains there a lot.
Yes.
Thank you, Seattle! Woo! We just went on sale Friday for the final 2013 Sexy Liberal, and we are outselling even last year's date. You got to better hurry and get those tickets. You know why that's especially exciting, Chris?
Why?
Because we lost our station there because they had to have a 27th sports station. And we're still on track to sell out in record time in Seattle. We thank you, Seattle, and all our Portland folks that are coming down and from all over the country. Very, very excited.
Searching for something better to do than sip lattes at the original Starbucks?
Yeah.
Well, come sip some sexy. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Seattle. And you will be entertained.
So, the flannel shirt deal, is that a nod to the crispy Seattle weather?
By overwhelming demand.
Yay! Back on December 14th at the Paramount. We will be back. Go to sexyliberal.com for ticket links. And by the way, a lot of people get a lot of Sexy Liberal strange, including Mary, who has a plan.
Oh?
For the Sexy Liberal Tour staff. I see you're going to be in Seattle on December 14th. Was hoping to find a Portland date. Seattle's close enough, I guess, and just might work better for my ulterior motive of inviting my ex-girlfriend, who I'm certain will fall in love with me all over again. It'll go something like this. Hey, I know you love Stephanie Miller. She isn't coming to Portland, but she will be in Seattle on December 14th. Would you like to go? We'll probably have to stay there overnight. That's smooth.
Uh-huh.
If my plan comes to fruition and we end up getting married, I will be sending you a wedding invitation. Oh, do you officiate weddings? I will by then, Mary. For that, last time we had, last Sexy Liberal in Chicago in April, we had people get engaged. Remember?
We did.
Yeah, the two, I can't remember, Vivian and I can't forget his name, but he asked her to marry him at Chicago Sexy Liberal.
We need to start gay marrying people at these things.
I think so. Well, Mary's going to, you know, okay, do it, get it. All right, and a lot of cast members from Rocky Mountain Mike's CD, including, will someone be there to read The Flavin?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
The Flavin? Okay.
Yes, The Flavin.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I grew of the shutdown weary over many a quaint and curious platform of tea party lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a rapping as if a lying sack of crapping rapping on the Senate floor was just some noise and nothing more. Ah, distinctly I remember, it was right before the bleak November, when one of all the Senate members, the curse of Cruz upon the floor, quoth Dr. Seuss, and nothing more. Presently his noise grew shriller, a high-pitched sound, but not like Thriller. Sir, said I, this is half-baked filler, truly it's your silence I implore, but the brains in Texas, they were napping, and were open to your mindless rapping. On our intelligence you are crapping, we do beseech you, speak nevermore. But then I heard of websites creaking, and words like debacle they were speaking, all of which, as I recall, behind the healthcare firewall, and hearings held behind the doors, the sounds of blame from senators, and congressmen who take the floors, no AOL and nothing more. But as the Hallows Eve grew near, the headless elephant just could not hear these bags of tea, of substance bleeded, bled by those not well adored, Bachman, Gohmert, speak nevermore. The ghost of Rand, speak nevermore.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rocky Mountain Mike with the voice of Richard Hensel.
Wow. Mm,
voiceover
wow.
God, yeah. Richard Hensel.
Yeah. Speaking of God, look what time it is. Eric Bohler from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bohler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bohler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bohler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bohler.
Good morning, Eric Bohler.
Hey, good morning.
morning.
I love your tweets as usual. You said the White House shutdown GOP drove away women voters, about to do the same with Latinos via stifling immigration reform. It's almost like they want Hillary to win. That's what I'm wondering.
And poor Marco Rubio now, I guess his office is making it what everyone else already knew, which was immigration is going nowhere. He has spent the last year is trying to convince members of his party to at least inch towards some sort of sane centrist approach to immigration. And as I pointed out, you know, Marco Rubio has discovered what Barack Obama has figured out about 15 times since the midterm elections, which is you can't reason with Republicans. So I'm wondering, you know, is the press going to start mocking Marco Rubio for not being able to lead? Because
yeah.
In Washington, if you fail to persuade unpersuadable Republicans, that means you're not a leader. So I guess Marco Rubio is now officially not a leader because he can't talk sense into people who aren't in touch with common sense. So, and he's sort of now crawling back to the right. I guess his niche, Rubio's niche, is now he's going to be, you know, another right-wing partisan. So
yeah,
so much for his sort of fresh approach.
Yeah, exactly. And you, by the way, in other political news, you said just because it's fun, Rasmussen, Obama job approval jumps to 4-month high.
Yeah,
and that's supposedly the Republican poll, right?
Yeah, you know, and I don't. You know, he's at 52. He was at 52%, which he hasn't been in since April, I think. You know, I don't put a lot of stock in it because it does seem to be an outlier. But it is kind of funny. Again, every time, you know, you go back to Syria, every time, you know, some sort of stumble or apparent quote-unquote blunder comes along, you know, a lot of the mainstream media, and certainly the right-wing media, announces, you know, Obama's presidency is over, it's collapsed, it's greater. What's remarkable and what people will look back on after he leaves office is his polling essentially doesn't change.
Yeah.
It has basically been 45-46% for 2.5 years, and nothing he does will change that, but every time, you know, there is a controversy or something.
Yeah, this
you know,
is
everyone rushes to write about his quote collapsing polling.
This is why you complete me, because Chris was not just saying this last hour. Mm-hmm. It's the latest, you know, Obama bungle, Armageddon, whatever. It's like, okay, really? And you say, so when the website is fixed, is that when Republicans will finally end their
right.
healthcare alternative?
Yeah.
Hashtag good luck.
Yeah, and I had a lot of conservatives, you know, respond, oh, we did, you know, we've been, you know, putting these plans forward, and, you know, even Boehner and Cantor, you know, in the last 6 months, even stopped pretending that they had a plan. So, you know, a lot of what the White House is talking about and Democrats are talking about and, you know, and other observers are pointing out is this sudden concern among Republicans. You saw at the hearing last week, I'm sure you'll see it at hearings this week, is this sudden overwhelming concern that, you know, that, you know, a small percentage of our population, which is dealing with the rollout of Obamacare, suddenly can't get health care. You know, these Republicans
yeah.
can't sleep at night. They want answers. Why won't these people, why can't they have, you know, a smooth rollout? Of course, these are the people that voted 43 times to repeal it.
Right.
They shut down the government to defund it. So, yeah,
well, and it's their
definitely
same,
a certain hypocrisy
and
here.
The same play they run every time, hearings, not because they're interested in fixing anything, because
right.
they're trying to pin something on Obama, whether it's Benghazi or Solyndra or whatever. So, I mean, that's why it's just so like, oh, really, this again? You're really going to pretend now you're really concerned about Americans not getting affordable health care?
Yeah, and you know, the oversight, you know, is supposed to be able to fix things and a certain amount of assigning blame, but basically to make sure the problems don't happen again. None of that is taking place in these hearings. It's, you know, like every Republican hearing for the last 2 or 3 or 4 years, you know, it's just pure partisan up and down the middle. Gotcha, gotcha,
well,
gotcha.
And I love your piece because it's a perfect example of how this began and continues, just a solid wall of lies on the right about Obamacare. And you tweeted, you say, blah, blah, blah. Here, where are we here? Oh, about the cost of the website.
Yeah.
You say Obamacare
yeah.
website costs $634 million, experts. It cost a fraction of that.
Yeah.
But everybody keeps repeating it, right?
Yeah, no, I did a piece of Media Matters late last week, and it's funny. And so there was an original piece out of this site called Digital Trends that a week or two ago said, oh, it costs, you know, this website, you know, this awful, non-functioning, broken website, they, you know, they they called it, $634 million. Well, the right wing immediately embraced that and ran with it. And how can you build a $634 million website that doesn't work, et cetera, et cetera? It turns out that's not true.
Right.
You know, the true estimate is probably closer to $150 to $200 million. But since then, just this morning on Morning Joe, Senator Coburn was on. Now the website costs $700 million. Now it costs $800 million. Last week on Fox, they're saying this website.
And you say an independent
$1 billion.
The Sunlight Foundation just said it cost $70 million. I mean,
yeah.
It's like,
And there is no hard accurate number. You know, we're talking about government contracts. We're talking about, you know, an extraordinary large public policy endeavor. Some of it is the backroom stuff. Some of it is the data hub, et cetera. So, you know, I understand there's no exact pinpoint number, but to say the website costs $600, $700, $800, and again, late last week, Fox was suggesting that this website was going to cost $1 billion.
And by the way, this is the party that just cost us, what was it, $24 billion in the government shutdown. Yeah.
Right, $24 billion, and now they're furious about a website that has cost overrun. So, you know, and nobody is suggesting that there aren't problems. Nobody is suggesting there shouldn't be hearings. Nobody is suggesting, odds are, they probably did spend a little too much, as a government traditionally does. But it would be nice if we dealt with facts, and it would be nice if we didn't just make up numbers. And not only just make up numbers, you know, $634 million. Then every few days you add a couple hundred million, so it sounds a little bit worse.
And I love how you always catch where then the next person goes, well, there are reports that, right, the last person that misreported it, they're just reporting it again.
I heard it's 11. Right.
Exactly. Eric, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
To the trillions of power.
What's that? Oh, I meant to do that. There you go. Okay.
Let me get a gling, too.
Gling. Khalid in Michigan real quick. Hello, Khalid.
Hello, how are you?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you today?
Good, good. Go ahead.
Well, I love watching your show, and I got to mention you're also cute there.
The what?
You're cute.
Oh, thank you. Oh, well, now I get it.
Well, and one thing I'm really getting, I'm a political science major. Actually, I got my degree in political science now.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing is going on with the government shutdown. It's more likely to me this president's got more disrespect than any other president in history. The Obamacare, I'm tired of the Republican rhetoric, and it's kind of amazing how I kind of think that the Republicans, especially John Boehner, the Supreme Court's being too easy on them. They should have just they should be thrown in jail for contempt of court talking about the Obamacare after the Supreme Court ruled on it.
Yes, I agree. All right, what the main thing we learned? I am cute. All right, 18
That's
minutes.
That's the only thing that you heard.
Blah, 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 blah. You're cute. Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah. Cute? Huh? 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
But that became a hit.
It's catchy.
It is. Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the... Oh, speaking of which, oh, look, everybody's playing the home game now of Right Wing World.
Wheel of Right Wing Hypocrites.
Greg sends a guess the quote for Jim. Jim, who said, our techniques are working. We've got the NSA program here. We've got the Patriot Act program here. You know, it's staggering to me that we're even debating the use of these techniques in this country even at this time. Who said that?
Joseph Goebbels.
That was a good guess. No, Sean Hannity.
Close.
That was back in the Bush administration.
Hmm.
Who said Big Brother is monitoring your every move, whether it be online or on the telephone? These actions by the Obama administration are a clear, very clear violation of the Fourth Amendment. Who said that?
Heinrich Himmler.
No, another good guess, though. No, it's Sean Hannity. Mm. Just the other day. Okay. The president talking about health care.
Now, some people have poked fun at me this week for sounding like an insurance salesman, and that's okay.
All right. You were just watching the Kathleen Sebelius bit on SNL?
Yes.
How was it? How was it be?
It's very funny.
It is very funny.
I did not see. Here's the actual Kathleen Sebelius.
Well, actually, I didn't realize it wouldn't be operating optimally before the launch.
Oh. That's a pretty good Kate McKinnon impression.
Yeah. She should have known that it wouldn't be operating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Optimally. Yeah. We're going to have to move you down to storage B. Got some new people coming in.
Pat in Wisconsin. Hi, Pat.
Hi. To me, the answer to the NSA spying seems to be very simple. Countries seem to spy in direct proportion to the sophistication of their technology. Our systems are very high-tech, so we do a lot of spying. That's what seems to be sort of happening, and the other countries like to do it if they could.
Oh, well, you know, I...
Yeah, but when we're spying on our allies under the guise of trying to root out terrorists, that's...
I don't think Angela Merkel is the head of a terrorist act.
No.
I don't think we needed to spy on her.
Yeah, as I was saying, by the way, real quick, as Rude pointed out as well, that started in 2002.
Right.
Under George Bush. President Obama told him or her that he would have stopped it if he had known about it. And again, it's not, you know, as I've said over and over again, it's not that we shouldn't be reviewing these things. I just, I still find the way we're doing it distinctly unhelpful. Edward Snowden.
Can I ask a question?
Yes!
Do you think President...
I'm trying to find a story. Go ahead, talk amongst yourselves.
Do you think President Obama should have known?
About
the NSA spying on Angela Merkel?
Yeah.
So is that an excuse?
What I'm saying is that, you know...
We wouldn't know about the NSA spying if it weren't for Snowden.
NSA knew about it.
Yeah, but the American people.
The executive branch knew about it.
Right.
But Obama's claiming he didn't know about it.
He should have.
That's a problem because ultimately he's in charge of the NSA.
I just think this is doing... I think there is a way to have this discussion that would not have done such enormous damage to us around the world. I just think that this Snowden thing... And I also think the way that he keeps releasing it, this just seems clear that he's bent on harming the United States and drawing more attention to this.
Well, it's self-serving is what it is. He's drawing it out and...
And I hate to agree with the Republican ever, but I sometimes agree with... what's his name? Mike Rogers, who's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, I think, you know, this echoes some of the things that the president has said, but he said the NSA surveillance program in question, particularly in regards to France, but also Germany, has been badly misrepresented in news reports. That's what they're saying, is that when certain things are leaked, you don't get the whole picture. He said the widely reported notion that the NSA has monitored 70 million French phone calls, he said, was 100% wrong, and that's why this is so dangerous. He said the disclosures did not necessarily fit with what has actually happened, so it's not an exact... correct interpretation of what they're seeing. They're seeing three or four pieces of a 1,000-piece puzzle and are trying to come to a conclusion. And that's why, I don't want, like, our security up to some contractor that has
contractors. That's
well,
the
no,
problem.
I know. But, I'm
private
just saying...
Valerie Plame talked about that, too.
Right, but Valerie Plame, I mean, she said a lot of things I thought that were interesting on Bill Maher's show. I mean, this is just not helpful, particularly when these are our allies. That good luck getting them to share stuff with us in the future. I mean, this is, I'm just saying it's not helpful as an American, in my opinion. But anyway, let's go to Mike in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have an Obamacare horror story I wanted to share with you.
Yes,
go ahead. My wife's 14-year-old daughter, her dad lost his job, and, you know, she lost her insurance. So my wife went to work. Her boss said, yeah, we'll put her on the insurance. It was $268 a month for her, just for her daughter, and dental insurance. So we went to the healthcare.gov, had no problems getting on, and we signed her up for $123 a month.
Wow.
My wife and her cute little southern drawl said, should I call Hannity? And I said, go ahead. But I just want to say thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks. No, really, thanks. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It is amazing. We talked about this before, that Sean Hannity, with the kind of budget he has, producers, they find three couples, one of whom is lying, and the other two who haven't even checked the exchanges. I mean, and that's their examples of that Obamacare is a disaster. Unbelievable. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, much more to get to as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
even more beautiful to me now because it is the real you.
This is it, isn't it? This is the real...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, golly, looky here. Aaron and his unsuspecting wife in Anchorage bringing the sausage to Sexy Liberal.
What?
Caribou sausage, that is.
Ooh.
Steph, Aaron in Anchorage says in Sarah Palin's voice, just got tickets and I'm loaded up to wife and dog sled there and we'll be at the Paramount in Seattle for Sexy Liberal, don't you know? Also, too, give us a holler in middle section, row K. Okay, writing that down. We'll slip you the sausage. Caribou sausage, that is. Perfect pairing with anything cardboard dough. And if nothing else, pass it on to Mexican friend for a Merry Christmas, Hana, Stepica. Okay, and to all a good knife. Sexy in Seattle. Yay!
Did you say to all a good knife?
Knife. No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
Some people shouldn't have a good knife.
No.
No.
No. Looky here. I saw what Teabagger stands for. Totally enraged, because if you do all the letters separately,
right.
Totally enraged about blacks and gays getting equal rights.
Interesting.
Oh, looky here. It's yet another story. Maybe our friend Alan Grayson, maybe he has a point. Tea Party politician on Obama assassinate the F word, N word, and his monkey children.
Who said this?
A little tiny bit racist, you think? No? Tea Party candidate and libertarian Jules Manson called for...
Manson,
on Facebook. He is a Ron Paul supporting libertarian who ran for a seat on the City of Carson City Council last March. Wrote, assassinate the N-word and his monkey children. He then removed the post when hundreds of Facebook readers, for some reason, I don't know, seemed offended in some way. At this point, he felt compelled to explain that he is not really a racist.
Sure. Oh, okay. Then
he argued that using the word, the N-word, does not make him...
of course. Okay. Yeah, but he used several other words. And you sound like Charles Manson.
He modified the N-word with the F-word. That makes it doubly
bad. Oh, and also,
bad.
He spelled the F-word wrong.
Oh,
so,
great.
That's...
He spelled with just a K instead of a C-K?
No, with an E-N.
Right. I hate that. Oh, God.
Right.
That's so...
If you're going to curse, curse
so
with proper grammar.
Okay, Ralph, learn to spell.
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay, Ralph with an ING. Hello, Ralph. Hi, Ralph.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You've been on CNN, and the interviewers, the ones that are doing the interviewing, are they, told they can't ask real tough questions?
Yes.
Or corner
I'm guessing.
Someone?
I'm guessing, yes.
I watched Ted Cruz 2 weeks ago being interviewed on CNN talking about how the American people really don't want this law and this and that. The interviewer just didn't say nothing like, well, they voted for him twice. And when they say, well, they didn't make a central issue in the election, I said, well, let's play a little tape from the debate between him and Romney where they talked about it for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that good journalism?
Yeah, well, I think for access, right, they're told,
exactly.
You have to, toe the both sides
don't
do it.
Don't ask this question.
Right.
Don't ask that question.
Right.
Don't ask this. Say this, not that.
Right. The both sides do it. They're very dedicated to the both sides do it thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't get the interview.
Yeah, exactly.
Dead air is actually better than that.
Al in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Al.
Hi. I thought it was very strange considering the expertise in the United States that a Canadian firm got a $600 million non-bid contract.
It's not
to 600. Develop a website.
It's not 600. Did you just hear Eric Bollard from Media Matters?
Well, let's say it's only $400 million, okay?
That's way overestimating as well.
Yep. Let's say
the Independent
million.
Sunlight Foundation said $70 million.
Okay, let's say it's $70 million.
Okay.
Why did it go to Canada? Why did it go to Canada instead of the United States?
It went to an American subsidiary of a Canadian company.
Do you know who has
all the money? The money stayed in America,
do you
dude.
Know who has
Canada. The money stayed in America.
I feel bad. I feel bad after they've already been debunked. Leaving them on, because then it's just sad.
It's 11 gajillion trillion.
See, he just started with the lie that we just debunked.
Right.
Canada.
So don't bother calling with the $600 million lie.
I
should say it went to Canada because they're socialists like us, and that's why.
Right.
Okay.
Great.
Right. All right. Looky here. Why, it's another... Just saying. Not saying you're wrong, necessarily, Chris.
What,
but Carol writes, OMG, yes, you are right, Mama.
What?
I am totally sick and tired of panty-waist Dems like Shaheen, Manchin, etc., who rush to the cameras and microphones to get themselves noticed whenever an opportunity arises. What we're seeing in America is the coming together of a concerted effort to dumb down the electorate and a crappy media focused totally on sensationalism and celebrity. Those tasked with providing relevant information to the people are lazy, appears to just go to some source to begin each day and then run with that for the cycle. And
No, that's the
tail
wagging the dog.
They find stories to fight. If they already have a Chiron belt that says this is a debacle and whatever.
No, that's the tail wagging the dog. The average person in the electorate sees that there is something wrong with the website that people aren't able to get on right away.
My point is, I think we just won. And by the way, when have you seen the Democrats stick together and have this much spine and win really a great political victory in this last, every poll shows it. And Julie in Seattle writes the same thing. She says, Mama, what WTF is going on with these Democratic senators who hung on to their delay Obamacare white flags? Then after we won the fight, they come out waving them in the course of calling their offices to politely suggest that unity worked well for us last month. And then going back to tossing the GOP tossing the GOP talking points for the next assault on ACA was not helpful. I mean, when you have Rush Limbaugh quoting, well, blah, blah, blah. That's what we're doing. They're handing ammunition before we wait and see. What is it about raising twice as much money as the GOP last month, driving them down to their lowest approval rating in history, toe fungus levels that these senators don't get, that now they're like, oh, well, maybe we should help them delay it.
But you're coming at it from a political angle. I'm coming at it from a customer service angle.
Yeah.
If this were a company, that we're putting out a product and there was a problem with the website and you needed to sign up by a certain amount of time, a company would do good customer service by extending the back end because people couldn't get on the front end.
Or they would lose business.
I'm unequivocally against it. I'm saying I think that what I get used to, what I get sick of, particularly on healthcare, Jim, we had this, if it weren't for some of these kind of Democrats, we would have at least had a public option. You know what I mean? It's just, it makes me like...
Right.
Let me just say one thing. If we had an opposing party that in any way resembled the Republican Party that I'm used to, or my dad, or Goldwater, anybody that was actually used to, coming together, when you lose politically and trying to help fix things, whether it's Medicare, Social Security, but we don't.
I know
we have
don't.
People that only want to use these hearings are not about helping people get affordable care. They're about trying to delay Obamacare so they can.
Right.
To fund it or
and
replace
I, and
it
I
or
totally
whatever.
Get that. But that is looking at it from a purely political point of view.
I get it. All
okay.
Right. See, we've been magically brought together somehow.
But I still think we should maybe extend the deadline by a couple of months.
Well, this is Senator Jean Shaheen.
The rollout has been a disaster. And so what I'm proposing is that we extend the period in which people can enroll.
Makes sense.
Right. That makes sense. What the Republicans are using it for, as you know, because they keep losing politically. It's like, how can we?
They're desperate and they'll grab onto anything. They'll twist any good suggestion that we have into something bad.
You know why it's bad? Because you have the Marsha Blackburn. She has the condescending voice, Jim. That's Well, thanks, Jean. Oh, thanks for bringing it up. Because that's why we have.
There should be a suspension of the law to allow people to review this process.
Right.
I'm pleased that so many Democrats are joining me now and saying yes, indeed.
And by suspension, I mean elimination.
Yeah.
You really understand.
Yeah, there's a light broken on Obamacare. We're just taking it back to our shop and we're going to fix it up there and then we're going to bring it back here.
Yeah, the way she said that was a little, starts with a C, ends with MTY.
Right? What? Can you do that?
I don't know. I just did, though.
Here's Jean Shaheen again.
I don't want them to feel like they have to be penalized if they can't enroll because the system's not working.
She said penal.
I agree with that.
Oh, I love my friend Jean suddenly. Thanks.
She doesn't.
Jean, I'm going to need you to go down to storage room B along with Obamacare, though. Thanks. Slam. All right. Governor Bobby Jindal. Oh, another helper. Mm. Another one of the helpers on healthcare.
It's harder and harder for them to justify why they wouldn't delay the individual mandate as well. So I think you're going to see Democrats and Republicans both responding to the failure of this policy.
It's not the failure of the policy. It's the rollout of the website. That's
right.
Right. The policy. The policy's great.
Oh, look. Marsh Blackburn's back.
The incompetence in building this website is staggering.
boy. All right.
That was a little
Yeah, it was Marsha Blackburn again, please and thank you.
That was a little NTY, too.
Yeah. Who was it? Oh, she was on after Governor Beshear was talking about how well it's working in Kentucky, and she just discounted everything. He said, oh, well,
oh, well,
Carol,
you know,
he's a precious pumpkin and all.
But no,
he
I
is
don't
a little.
Think so.
Okay. Governor John Kasich.
The rollout looks like a disaster, but in my state, most Ohioans are going to pay higher costs. And, in fact, this is not going to control health care costs.
Yes, health care costs are a problem. But, again, as Jim has said, this is not – Obamacare is not supposed to be a panacea or fix every single problem.
Right.
You know, it's a start.
Why doesn't he do anything about the problems?
Mm.
Why doesn't somebody solve all the problems?
Darrell Issa, as we know, has always just been a helper. Uh-huh. He just wants to investigate just to see how he can help in some way.
Sure.
We're looking for quick answers
right. So
that we can, on behalf of the American people, straighten out as much as can be straightened
right.
out. That's above the water, which is the website.
Sure.
Right. Right.
Right. Maybe
be
we
a
just
lamb.
need an alarm on the website.
Exactly.
To protect it from car thieves like, I don't know.
Like you. Not you, Jim. I meant you, Darrell. Okay, 45 minutes. Why can't I be governor? My impressions aren't as good as his, but still.
Right.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rocky Mountain Mike says, when it comes to Angela Merkel's phone, for the record, I would not tap that. Oh, my.
As far as world leaders go, she's sturdy.
George Bush apparently would.
Yeah.
He's giving a little foreplay back rub.
Hey, Angie.
Oh, Greg asks, by the way, is Marsha Blackburn going to take Obamacare to the country to live on a farm? Yeah, I'm just trying to help. I'm trying to fix it. Get in the car. We're going to live on a farm. Okay.
Well, you can run free all day.
Whee! Run free, Obamacare.
Until they gut you.
Yeah.
They turn you into bacon.
Boy. Okay.
Bacon.
Bacon. Okay. Pat Robertson blames mother for her son being deaf, says she did something wrong during prayer. How about that? Isn't he a peach?
Debbie writes, my son is hearing impaired and cannot hear at all. I have prayed for his healing. It seems as if God is hearing impaired. What am I doing wrong?
It may be a spirit of deafness. I have dealt with people who are deaf, and you rebuke a spirit of deafness, and they get healed. So I don't know what you're doing wrong. I don't know your son. I don't know you. I don't know what the situation is, but... Why don't you try that? And if it doesn't work, try something else.
Try something else.
Doing it wrong.
The spirit of deafness.
Stupid
you got to get
bitch,
rid of
you're
them.
Doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Spirit of deafness.
Well, it would be one blessing is you couldn't hear Pat Robertson, I suppose. Whew. However.
Wow.
Well, that is something. I'm sure that helped. Okay.
Yeah, that brought comfort.
Ah, boy. Paul in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul. Hello, Paul. Oh, well, all right then, fine. Be that way. Deb in California. Hi, Deb. Hello, Deb. Uh-oh. Has something gone cattywampus with my phones?
I don't know.
Okay. Let's try Peter in Washington. Hey, Pete.
Hey, how are you?
Okay. Go ahead.
I'm loving your show, and I love that little dig on Pat Robinson. In fact, every business ID number that I have all has 666s in it.
Hi.
It gets a little spooky from time to time. I listen to everybody babble back and forth about Obama this and Obama that and Obamacare. Obamacare is nothing more than the employer's level of insurance at the exchanges. It's what we would use to hold you in your job, okay, right. because you couldn't afford to go private.
Right, in your crappy right. job working for someone you hate, right, Chris?
Yes. Hell yeah.
And the truth of it, in business, when it gets down to the ice-cold spot, I don't care if your mother's dead, your baby's dead, your mama's dying. If you don't show up for work, you're fired.
Right.
Okay? And employees are like sheep. As soon as the wool goes bad, you send them to the slaughterhouse. And if you're in business, you're in business for one reason, and that is to make money. And if that isn't what you're in business for, then you're trying to run a charity. And there's some real tough decisions to be made. But as to who is running the country, really, with the exception of the executive orders, is Congress and the Senate. They don't have an 8-year term. They stay in there forever.
Mm.
They have their little deals here and there. And believe me, I go back deep into the corruption of that mess, back to Congressman Coelho. Okay, so, I mean, I've partied with Bill, been with Oliver North, and we learned very quickly that the truth in Washington is never the truth. It's like Baskin-Robbins' flavor of the day.
Ah, all right. I'm not certain where he was going with that, but okay. Let's. By the way, Doyle McManus in the LA Times looking ahead because, again, as a lot of people have been saying, I think Americans kind of get this as a website and it'll get fixed. As he writes, I think the key thing is if the obstacles in enrolling me that only sick people participate, costs will rise. And that's, again, that's mainly the right wing's concern, scaring people off of this so that it doesn't work or prices go up so they can go, see, Obama again. Doyle writes, one of these weeks, now the Obama administration has recruited a SWAT team of computer whizzes, healthcare.gov, will recover from its debut and turn in just another website. After all, it's a website. Websites can be fixed. Anyway, and then he talks about the far more interesting chapter in the life of Obamacare will begin. We're about to witness a massive experiment in federalism to see whether the Affordable Care Act can succeed in two very different kinds of states. Those where the governments are actively working to help the law succeed. And those where they're working to make it fail. I've been saying this over and over. What I hope happens is that puts pressure on the states that are actively screwing it up to get with the program.
Yeah.
Because, you know, real people are going to feel these effects. He says 14 states, almost all with Democratic governors, are running their own health insurance exchanges. And that's, as I keep saying, the way it was designed to work. He said, blah, 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 and many of these enrollment is already reported to be working out just fine. New York, Kentucky, and Washington, he cites, for example. Meanwhile, 27 states, most with Republican governors, opted to back away from the Affordable Care Act and leave it to the federal government to run. Again, irony kind of rich in that, but whatever. In Georgia, he talks about the state insurance commissioner publicly declared that he intended to be an obstructionist. Florida and Missouri and other states have imposed regulations to make it harder for Obamacare to attract users. This is just like there's so many levels of moral wrong to this. But anyway, he says it's a logical proposition. The Affordable Care Act only has to work in one state to prove its doubters wrong. This is what inventors call proof of concept. Oh, you know where that is working? Massachusetts, oddly enough, which is very strange. Really weird that the guy just lost the election that made that work.
Yeah.
If Obamacare can make it in New York or Kentucky or Washington, then it can make it anywhere. McManus writes, he said, the biggest danger to Obamacare all along has been the problem of adverse selection. If it's hard to sign up, sick people will persist, but healthy people may stop trying. And if an insurance pool has too many sick people and too few healthy ones, the costs will increase and premiums will go up. At that point, and here's the rub, at that point it will be up to Congress to fix the problem by increasing federal subsidies, imposing cost controls on health providers, or offering a lower cost stripped down insurance plans. But if Republicans remain devoted to repealing the law, what's your guess? They're not likely to work very hard to fix it unless consumers and voters have embraced the program by then. So that's going to be the big if in this, you know, in terms of what happens politically. But, you know, I just don't get it. The people urging people not to get health care to pay the penalty. So let me get this straight. So now you've paid a penalty and you have nothing.
I think they just have a spirit of deafness. I think that's what
it's like renting versus owning. You know, they tell you if you're renting, you're throwing money
away.
And now
you have nothing.
Right.
And
you get
you
nothing.
Pay, right. A little more. Now you have insurance, no matter how young you are, in case you get in an accident or you get sick. You don't bankrupt yourself and your whole family and your whole future. I don't get it. This is such a no-brainer. Right. If you pay the penalty. Right.
You get
right.
nothing.
Let's review.
You lose.
Right. You lose.
Good day, sir.
All right. Paul in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Well,
Well, I guess the Republicans must have felt the same way about the invasion of Normandy. Well, it didn't go so well, so maybe we should just cancel the whole thing.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Like,
some
like I said, we didn't win World War II on December 8th, 1941, so might as well just give up.
Yeah, you didn't hear them, you didn't hear them yelling abort, abort, and the guys already on the beach are like, what? Wait a minute.
What?
What? We got, huh? 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the well oiled, well working website.
Well lubed.
Right.
Yeah.
It has been excessively lubed. Unlike the guy in the celery commercial we were just looking at.
Yeah.
Celery is nature's what now?
Toothbrush for the colon.
And please enjoy celery. And then there's a rather graphic picture.
Yes.
Wow, we. Okay.
Of a celery shoving a toothbrush up a guy's ass.
Right. Yikes. Okay, then. That's hard to unsee that. And
well,
we started the show with Mr. Balls.
We did.
Testicular cancer mascot
mm-hmm.
that is very, very detailed. Okay. Wow, kids, Seattle, I love you. We just we're cranking up the sexy liberal machinery again. We just went on sale Friday. We are outselling last year. VIP tickets almost gone. Terry, the official crocheter of the Stephanie Miller Show, you know she's crocheted us all things.
I have a thing.
Terry and Larry are going. Hi, Steph. Thank you for picking Seattle as your final 2013 destination. My hubby and I have our VIP tickets. Looking forward to it with great anticipation. Me too! Oh my God!
Searching for something better to do than sip lattes at the original Starbucks?
Yeah.
Well, come sip some sexy. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Seattle. Yeah. And you will be entertained.
So, the final shirt deal, is that a nod to the crispy Seattle weather?
Yay, yay. Thank you, Shano. December 14th at the Paramount Theater. We are back by popular demand. We cannot wait. We're very, very excited. Go to sexyliberal.com mm-hmm. for ticket links.
Is it a Christmas spectacular?
Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Yes, Chris Mahana, Kwanzaa, Stefika. Something.
Are you going to bring the Rockettes out?
Sure, I'll find something. by the way, Greg alerts us to the dumbest American bigot ever, perhaps.
Okay.
Well, that might be saying something. A Janesville man was arrested early Saturday morning for hitting two men he thought were speaking Hebrew. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They were speaking Hebrew. He punched the two men around 2:19 a.m. in the morning. When he heard them speaking Hebrew, he swore at the men and demanded they speak English.
Arabs!
He told police he thought the men were speaking Spanish.
Oh, well. Spanish?
So, right. So that
Spanish sounds nothing like Hebrew.
Right. Right. Well, they weren't speaking American, whatever it was the problem.
Talk American!
Right. Boy. He could be a character in Night of the Living Dumb, couldn't he?
A spectacle of unbearable horror and stupidity. Night of the Living Dumb. Featuring the blood-curdling Michelle Bachmann.
It literally kills women, kills children, kills senior citizens.
The ghoulish Steve King.
Calves the size of cantaloupes.
The maniac monster, Louis Gohmert.
Aspersions on my asparagus.
And terrifying newcomer, Ted Cruz.
Mike Lee, I am your father.
Night of the Living Dumb. In Congress, no one can hear you think. Rated GOP 13. Right-wingers without an adult will not be admitted.
Hooray.
That was Adam in Champaign, Illinois, with Kenny Pick.
Hooray. All right. Julie writes, Steph, thought I'd alert you to the story so you won't be shocked when the troll Nouveau calls in with, I'm a Democrat and I support Obamacare, but insert gripe here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotten wise to that one now.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it actually did happen. The Seattle Times, thousands got the wrong subsidies data from the State Health Exchange. They gave overestimated tax credits amounts, so they're disappointed. They have to pay more than they thought. So what? Yes, they have to buy. Yes, they have to buy real insurance, not some mini coverage policy that was cheap because of cap benefits let them cut off your lifetime limits and excluded people who were sick or likely to get sick, etc. Actually, this problem is a good example of how complicated the issues are and why glitches are bound to happen and how they can be fixed. Some people will have to pay more to bring their coverage up to snuff and, yes, to participate in the system that covers everyone. Long term, it will cost less. And since when did the insurance rates not go up every year? The rates this year went up less than they have since the 70s. The idea that we start reversing trends and fixing outrages like pre-existing conditions. No one said it will be a dream come true for everyone, or as Jim says, fix all the problems. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, future husband stack.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Georgia man runs into burning house to save his beer.
Oh.
Beer.
Beer.
He told the news station there, I went back into the house like a dummy. The door shut on me because of this backdraft, and it was about to kill me. Wait, this gets better. When the flames broke out, he grabbed his cane and fled with the rest of the occupants, but something compelled him to return to the inferno. He said, I told him to get the kids out and everything, and me, myself, being an alcoholic, I was trying to get my beer out. You feel me? I feel you. I do feel you.
Nah, Trey. I don't feel you.
I don't feel you, Trey.
I feel you.
Boiled beer probably isn't all that good.
That'll be me going back into my walker to get my wine.
Wine.
Hot beer?
You're going to carry out your wine refrigerator on your shoulder. Like with a fireman carry.
Max on one shoulder, Fred the other one.
The keg on your head.
Exactly. Casey in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Casey.
Hey, Steph, the Moops, happy Monday.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, the right wing nut that called in talking about the $70 million that was going to Canada, it's interesting that nobody on the right wing wants to mention that for over a decade, healthcare costs have been rising, and they were certainly okay with the cost spent on two wars on a credit card, and now they're talking about a drop in the bucket that costs, you know, to design a web page.
Yeah, exactly. Not to mention Medicare Part D, which, it's almost too easy. It's like shooting Google fish in a barrel to go find, you know, hypocrisy on how Medicare Part D was a whatever.
Whatever.
All the same Chiron. They just reused the Chiron about Armageddon. Okay, Sarah in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling. I agree with everything you're saying, and I was just wondering, what can I do as a single mom to support Obama today? I've signed up for health care, but I just want to be more active and have my voice heard.
Well, I mean, that's why I think 2014 is going to be so important. And I think that's all you can do is just make sure you vote, tell other people to vote, help people vote. Because I'm telling you, some of this polling, it's the things we keep being told over and over again, oh, there's no chance of retaking the House. I think there is. A lot of polling is saying, and if you're looking at the polls right now, we have to just keep that outrage going. Blake in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Blake.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Got a philosophical question for you that goes back to my college days in economics. But our professor was talking about Frederick Bastiat and his...
You have a degree in economics?
No, I take some classes in it.
Oh.
But anyway, what he posed to the class was, from Frederick Bastiat was, you know, the great fiction of the state, or the state or government is a great fiction that everyone endeavors to live at the expense of everyone else. And I was just curious what your thoughts were on Bastiat.
You think Affordable Care Act is having the other people live at your expense?
Well, that and you know, the entire welfare state.
Well, you do.
Can we exist? Can we exist for long if all we're doing is living at the expense of everyone else?
Okay, Blake. The uninsured, you're already subsidizing their health care because they go to the emergency room, they can't pay, and so therefore you pay. This is getting people off of that system and getting them onto their own insurance. So actually, you stop paying for their health care.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
you know, one way than another. I mean, we're going to
no.
pay taxes, and the government.
They pay for their health care as opposed to you paying for their health care.
How are we in a welfare state in general?
Well, the state's taking in money that we've earned, and then it redistributes that you know, to various people. And not that all of it's bad. It's just, can we, as a society, exist?
It's sort of interesting, isn't it, that you're from Texas. All of the red states actually take out a lot more than they put in, whereas a lot of the Democratic-run states.
You red states like you steal from blue states like us in California.
Well, that's not the question I was trying to pose.
But that's you live in a welfare state.
Right.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
All right.
The red states are sucking on the teat harder than any.
Yeah, get off. Get off my teat. Like.
Wow.
Okay.
Libertarian epic fail.
Yeah. That was kind of easy.
What's that in the barrel? A fish.
I can tell that's the lowest common, you know, instinct that they keep playing to. You're
welfare
paying for
state.
Other people. You're paying for, well, how come I got to subsidize, blah, blah, blah. That's the point, is over time it should cost all of us less because, gay, gear. Oh, my goodness, look at this. What is Charlie Pierce call him? Senator Huckleberry Butch Me Up?
Yep.
Senator Lindsey Graham is now threatening to block every single nomination from the Obama administration until he gets what he wants on Benghazi again.
The one thing I'm not going to do is vote on a new Secretary of Defense until the old Secretary of Defense testifies about what happened in Benghazi.
Lindsey Beauregard Graham!
Lindsey Graham's up all night long.
But unnerving to a guy like me.
Bitch and moan and then he's
Are you satisfied with the approach the administration has taken?
No, I haven't been satisfied for a long time.
I'll bet.
We're 3 years into this, and he's failing, and it's not the Tea Party's fault.
Does not have, for he is a cat in a skull kit.
You can bitch, you can cry, wasting the time of our life. Ooh, be a girl, make a scene, being a drama queen.
To say I was stunned is an understatement.
Years is he going to keep up this hissy fit?
I guess a while. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
If you wanna get down on the ground.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jeff in Iowa writes, hey, Steph, while discussing how Obamacare is killing jobs with a friend of mine, Skeeter.
Uh-huh.
He said he personally knows of three people in the insurance industry who've had their jobs eliminated because they are underwriters for policies with pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
Now that Obamacare
and how is that a bad thing?
Has eliminated pre-existing condition, these three people are unemployed. Unless we repeal Obamacare, these three hardworking people may never again be able to follow their dream of denying health care to people with pre-existing conditions. Thanks, Obama. So you see, Steph, Republicans were right. Obamacare is a job killer. Don't you feel foolish knowing that three people lost their jobs because you selfishly wanted millions of people to have health care without having to declare bankruptcy? I sense some snark in that. I am selfish, and I apologize. Deb in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb. Hello, Deb.
Deb? Is that Deb in Michigan?
That's Deb in Michigan. Hi.
That's me, then. Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Just quickly, I think it's bogus that young people are not going to sign up. I know a lot of young people, although I'm no longer one myself, who know people who have been sick. They're going to sign up. I think especially young women are going to sign up for this health care. And young men who are going to know people who have been in stupid accidents and that sort of thing and ended up worse than dead. They end up in wheelchairs or something the rest of their lives.
Right.
Which is, you know, I think a lot of young people are going to sign up when they get a chance. The people forget that you have to pay money up front.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they have to sign up immediately.
I was saying this earlier, but, I also just think people get, you know, no matter how much misinformation is out there, people get the concept of having to pay something for nothing, which is what you're going to be doing if you have to pay the fine.
Yeah, yeah. And I think those awful GOP ads are just, most of the young people I know are not stupid enough to fall for that.
Yeah.
It's just stupid.
You know, and I love people like Rush Limbaugh going, oh, you know, the fines are not enough to matter. People don't care. They're not going to play. It's like people don't make $20 million
right.
a year like you do. Well, like, this
well,
is morally.
That's an afterthought.
Right. I mean, what did Fox News say? Oh, they had someone advising you don't, you know, wait till you have an accident or something to young people. It's just really, you want to do that to people and their families. It's mind boggling. Let's go to Catherine in California. Hi, Catherine.
Good morning.
Hi.
I figured out the reason that what we need to do in order to get the Republicans just running to their phones and enrolling. We made the mistake by using the word subsidy. If we just change that to a health care voucher, that was what Mitt Romney and all the Republicans wanted, they're going to be
it would be premium support then, wouldn't it, Jim?
With premium
exactly.
support.
Exactly.
It's a serious plan.
Yeah, Republicans do get a chubby for the word voucher.
Right, right. Oh, a voucher in that case.
Well, then, okay.
Can I use this at Voucher Hospital? Why? Thank you. Zach in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Zach. Hello, Zach.
Hello. I was just calling kind of to comment on the two T-Billy folks that you have calling in this morning. I think that there are issues not with health care or with the quote-unquote welfare state or entitlements or whatever they want to call it. Their problem seems to be with taxes. And we as a country, 200 years ago, decided that taxes are how we collectively accomplish things that as individuals we could not.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, at its base, rejecting the very premise of our country, and I would just respectfully suggest that they find somewhere to live that does not have taxes, because the way that we're going to do it in our country is to pay taxes.
Yep.
Yeah, well, exactly. By the way, the point I've been making all morning is, like, I don't think anyone thinks these hearings of Republicans are actually trying to be helpful. They wrote a piece in Salon that, you know, this is one by one the controversies. Shorthand names such as Solyndra, Benghazi, Fast and Furious hit a favor pitch and then faded away.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they keep doing these hearings, hoping something's going to stick. Salon writing, some Republicans see the disastrous rollout of the health care law as a problem with the kind of staying power that they've sought. This is the whole premise. It's about bringing down President Obama. It's not about helping people get health care or, you know, fix any of these problems. The longer the technical problems persist, the more likely they are to affect the delicate balance of enrollees needed in the insurance marketplace to keep costs down. That's also what they're actively rooting for. They're actively rooting for costs to go up for all of us so they can say, see, I told you so, and, you know, bring the president down. White House officials contend the website is just one piece of the broader law, which is true. They say that when the online issues are fixed, latest estimate by the end of November, few people will remember the problems that have marred the opening weeks of the enrollment window. Obama's senior advisor says it says a lot about Republicans that their focus is not on helping Americans get insured, but on making political hay of this mess. And that's, I hope people see that for what it is. A Republican strategist said Republicans should be wary of overreach. He urged the party to focus on the basics in the hearings, but they won't,
right,
as usual. Republicans turning to a familiar tactics, congressional hearings, and then he just compares it to all these other hearings. That, remember, it's been and then the mainstream media falls for it every time. Is this the end? Every week it's the same. Is this the end of Obama's presidency? You remember the last one was the Libya debacle, remember?
Yeah.
Right? Where we got a dictator
so
to admit and give up weapons of mass destruction without Syria right, without
Libya.
Lobbing a water balloon over there. Remember that whole, you know,
why didn't we attack?
Disaster.
Why didn't we blow
debacle?
Anybody up? It's so boring. Peace. Ugh. Gek. I want to kill stuff.
Anyway, another strategist says they can certainly put some points on the board, but I don't see a great Republican coup anytime soon. Because that's the problem. That's all they're interested in.
Have they stopped
putting points on the board?
Yakking about the Harry Reid Obama shutdown?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what John Boehner called it. Right. He said, I got to put points on the board, meaning political points. And that's how the government got shut down.
Yeah.
It cost us $24 billion. All right, 29 minutes.
And 120,000 jobs.
Thank you. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good grief. My cousin set me up on a blind date for Valentine's, and I just found out the girl is, well...
Stephanie Miller.
Uh-oh. Oh, well. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Drew in New York. Hi, Drew. Welcome. Hello, Drew.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Shouldn't Rush Limbaugh be worried about a pre-existing condition? God forbid if he ever went bankrupt, his obesity would probably be considered one. But that's another
Do you refer
story.
To his giant anal cyst that got him out of military service?
Okay. Mm. Anyways, I call because I am going to save a ton of money with Obamacare. I'm proud to call it Obamacare because something needed to be done. All these people out there that are complaining about their insurance going up, well, most of them probably already have employer-based insurance, okay?
Right.
Now, my wife got laid off, so we actually had to look and see what's really going on. When we got our insurance bill and how much we actually had to pay, it was sticker shock. This was quite a few years ago. It was unbelievable. It was high. So it kept going every year for the last 5 years. It's gone up and up and up. Now, thank God for Obama because with CHIPS, because we don't have insurance or employer-based insurance, our kids get CHIPS, okay? Mm-hmm. No matter what, but that's like the best program ever. Because I work. It's for working families, okay? So mm-hmm. when they say welfare state, it kind of insults me.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, okay? It's an insult.
No, it's how everybody gets insulted when they keep calling Medicare and Social Security entitlements. When
right.
it's because we're entitled because we paid into them. Right.
Right. Well, my insurance last year, they sent us a letter stating it was going to go up, and it went up. Then Obamacare came in. When we, the first of the year, we had a meeting, my insurance is going from $751 we were paying without prescription because we couldn't afford it, and we could afford it, but it was just what we decided to do, to $254 a month for me and my wife. We're saving almost $500 a month. And my taxable income is $50-some thousand a year.
Right.
So when they tell you it's a welfare state, and I don't understand. When people call or they complain about Obamacare, it's all politics.
Yeah.
It's all hate. It's all hate,
yeah.
hate,
yeah.
hate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Perhaps you haven't heard, there's a glitch, baby. That's the important thing. There's a glitch.
The first class.
Whatever can I do to pay the bill? If I don't pay up, will I go to jail? Remember when they used to turn you down? Whoa! And then you'd be chapter 11 bound. Whoa! And now the website is healthcare.gov. They beat up on it and they say it's fail. Glitch, baby, there on the site that we launched at the end of September.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Okay, that's always fun when Mark O'Meara pops up on the TV.
He's awesome. It's just awesome.
I don't know what he's talking about, but I should have something.
It's probably not George Zimmerman being awesome.
No.
Because he's probably...
George who? I don't know
the
who he's talking
about. The guy's not paying you. Okay.
Tell him to pay me.
All right. I thought at first it was Halloween. It was a Marco Mera mask, but it's not. It's actually him.
You see red hair and big teeth. That's all. Yep. That's all you need for a Marco Mera mask.
All right. I was saying, it pains me somewhat when I agree with a Republican, but Representative Mike Rogers talking about the NSA stuff.
I think the bigger news story here would be if the United States Intelligence Services weren't trying to collect information that would protect U.S. interests, both home and abroad.
Yeah, but protecting U.S. interests by hacking into our, allies' phones. That's not a way to fight terrorism.
It's interesting. Britain's Prime Minister, David Cameron, though, he made a point. He pointed the finger back at Snowden, saying the leak of classified information would make it harder for his and other countries to keep citizens safe. He said what Snowden is doing, to an extent what the newspapers are doing and helping him doing what he's doing, is frankly signaling to the people who mean to do us harm how to evade and avoid intelligence and surveillance. And tell me if this is what you want them to be spending their time on. Senior officials in the White House are saying they're giving allies a heads up on what may come next as a result of Snowden's leaks. I mean, it's because he's making the story about him.
Yeah.
And about, now look what. Is that really what we want our government having to take time to do to?
But I don't know what he's done that's actually harmed the country.
Well, obviously harmed our relationship with allies.
Not Snowden. That's not Snowden's fault.
No, that came directly from Snowden's leaks.
What did?
The revelation that the NSA was spying on Merkel.
Yeah, well,
Snowden's leaks.
But that the revelation of that is not the cause of it. Of us spying.
I don't know that Angela Merkel would be so upset with us if Snowden hadn't leaked that stuff.
And I'm just saying there's a lot of important stuff we're trying to work on with other countries. This is not, you said this, Chris, in the beginning. It's like, if this is so important, why wouldn't you just release this at once if you think this is so, right. It becomes just like every week. It's like, look at me. Now look what I'm going to release. And it's.
Yeah.
I'd rather that they're spending their time doing... There's some problem areas around the world, is what I'm told.
That being said, shouldn't have spied on Angela Merkel in the first place.
Right. Speaking of, one of them is Iran, and this is what kills me, but every storyline is about, for the Republicans, is how can we not help Obama? It's like, how can we... Whether it's... what was I just talking about? Syria, But, so for the first time, ever... We're having contact with Iran. There's a real chance. So the Obama administration asking Congress to hold fire on enacting new sanctions against Iran to give negotiators flexibility in the current nuclear talks. The administration wanted politicians to wait on new sanctions to give the negotiations time to get traction.
Right.
And, can you give him a second to try to do some,
diplomacy?
Let the president a little bit. We have conveyed that any congressional action should be aligned with our negotiating strategy. Yeah, remember when we were all remember the shore line? We were all one country and then, right. As we move forward, so while we understand that Congress may consider new sanctions, we think this is time for a pause. So we have asked for, as we have asked for in the past, to see if negotiations can gain traction, said a White House spokesperson. She noted additional sanctions could always be imposed later if Iranians failed to meet their obligations, and she stressed that no existing sanctions were being lifted. So once again, an unnecessary set of vapors for Lindsey Graham. The window for negotiation is not open-ended, and if progress isn't made, there may be a time when more sanctions are, in fact, necessary. But, forgive
Benghazi.
Me for thinking they're, once again, rooting for the president to fail. Maybe we can gum this up so that we can say, it's another foreign policy disaster for the president. I know what you're thinking. What does Joe the Plumber think?
What? Why? Why?
Joe the Plumber and think in the same sentence.
Yeah, what brought him up?
Oxymoronic. Or maybe just moronic.
Yes, he was trying to reply to Alan Grayson's comparing the Tea Party to the Klan.
Uh-huh.
However, he has about a tenth of the brain power of Alan Grayson. He tweeted, Democrats have a history of lynching black Americans.
When Democrats were fighting for the Confederacy.
Yeah. A lot has changed since the Civil War.
Yeah, the Republican Party, they were the progressives at the time.
Zoinks. Okay. Let's read a story that will make me happy. GOP Civil War. Fight, fight, fight. Actually, I didn't even think of this. They just did some polling.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Carrie Elbeld of the Salon writes this.
Yep.
They did some polling, and they've actually fractured into three groups now. Oh, no. Even better.
I think that's more than a fracture. That's a shatter.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She writes, remember when evangelicals were the staple of the Republican coalition? Remember, turn them out and you'd win a national election. The GOP is now roughly split into three factions, one-third evangelical, one-quarter Tea Party, and one-quarter moderates. So, we've been focusing more on just the moderates and the Tea Party. Moderate and Tea Party Republicans view the evangelical agenda as a total distraction. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Evangelicals apparently beside themselves about losing the culture wars. Their main focus, of course, the
homosexual.
Right.
Mm.
But the Tea Party folks could care less about social issues. Gay marriage, abortion, who cares, said one Tea Partier. Another one agreed. I think it's not important. And that's an interesting point. One Tea Party guy from Raleigh said, I personally don't agree with gay marriage. Well, good, then don't marry gay. But I don't think government should say who can get married and who can't. It's not their business. So there's, a lot more groups fighting than we even had hoped for.
Yay!
And they all hate each other. Yay! Breakups are so sad. Ted Cruz, I was saying, was in Iowa. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Funny that. At the Reagan dinner, breaking the Reagan rule.
Of course.
Not to speak ill of other Republicans. Terry Branstad, the Ohio's governor, issued a pointed reminder to attendees of the party's Ronald Reagan dinner to get back to heeding mm-hmm. the Reagan, commandment.
Well,
minutes later, Ted Cruz,
again.
The gallus guest of honor, shamelessly did just that, and with vigor. Because, he blamed the Senate Republicans and then he said, took Republican strategist to task. He said, it's driven by an old Nixonian adage that in the primary you run to the right and in the general you run to the left. What complete poppycock. If you took every strategist and dumped them in the ocean, you know what you'd call it? A good start. Oh, that's the old lawyer joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Republican.
Yeah, no one's ever heard that before.
I think that's a good way to build a presidential coalition. Everyone hates you. The left and the right. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. Oh, I see, Katy Perry, because she pulled a girl's weave off in a cat fight.
Yeah.
Who hasn't done that once?
I know, right?
Oh, you too? Good.
Yeah.
She said...
Oh, hell yeah. I did it just this past weekend.
Right.
At a Halloween party.
Sure. Should I'm a lover, not a fighter? There's only been one fight a long time ago. It was a girl fight. I got caught between a bunch of girls. I just stuck my hand in and grabbed some hair. I pulled a weave off. How you know that's when you become a woman.
Yeah. Bitch had it coming.
Right? I'm sure she did. Oh, by the way, something else I have in common. Dolly Parton keeps an emergency wig by her bed. Me too.
Mm.
Me too, in case of earthquakes.
A wig would not be the first thing I think of to grab.
It would be the first thing Dolly Parton would think of.
Would be the first thing Dolly Parton would think of.
Absolutely. A wig and a bra.
TMZ would be right outside there. Hey, oh my God, this is breaking news to nobody. Jim Chris Brown, as it turns out, is kind of a violent douche.
Huh.
He was arrested over the weekend and once again charged with felony assault in Washington, D.C., after allegedly punching someone in the face.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
In their alleged face.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Sad celebrity news. Marsha Wallace, star of The Simpsons and Bob Newhart, died over the weekend.
Yeah.
As did Lou Reed.
Lou Reed, I was going to say threes. Uh-oh. Always comes in threes.
Yeah.
She played Carol, who I love, Carol the receptionist on Bob Newhart. But you had a fun fact. She only won an Emmy for Simpsons.
Well, she her only Emmy was for The Simpsons, playing Mrs. Krabappel.
Bart's crabby teacher.
That's right.
And you had another?
Yeah, her first on-screen appearance was on The Brady Bunch. She was the sales lady that sold Jan her brunette wig.
That is so sad that you know.
What?
Wow.
That is so tragic.
God.
Thank you for that.
Jen looked at her and said, I want a wig just like you have on. And Marsha Wallace says, it's my own hair.
Okay, this is only getting worse.
Oh, God. Okay, I shouldn't have done that.
Jim, this one is for you, for your main bugaboo, texting while driving.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually fatal car crashes are on the decline. The bad news, fatal car crashes involving cell phone use are on the rise.
Yeah.
In fact, the leading cause of death for teenagers is now texting, not drinking.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
With nearly a dozen teens dying each day in a text-related car crash.
Mm.
Yikes.
I've seen so many people just running red lights right out into the intersection while they're texting.
Just assume your friend knows that it's funny. You don't need to get that last LOL out.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mike in L.A. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yeah, I just have a very brief economics lesson for our scholar in Texas who's so concerned about the welfare state.
Yes.
Number one, every economy is, by definition, a redistribution of income. Mm-hmm. Number two, all wealth is created ultimately by labor. And number three, if people were paid by how hard they work, a hotel housekeeper would be paid many times what a corporate CEO gets.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you very much. The little economics lesson for our friend. James in California on our trolls, by the way. Hello, James.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm eating my breakfast. Hey, you know what I like? I like that troll be gone part you got.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to have more troll stuff on. I mean, those guys are really good. They kind of really
don't. And we don't even pay ours. They just call for free.
You know, you should have a special line just to get them.
Yeah.
You got to throw a little bait out to get them.
Yeah, troll. They always go to the front of the line.
Yeah.
Travis identifies troll.
That's right.
I go right to it. Let's go to Pat in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Great show. Thank you. I wanted to talk about the people calling in, talking about the welfare state. And I'm so sick of hearing that, especially when there's no context to those callers who might listen to only right-wing radio. And I think it's really important for our radio, you, to be sure that they are, be sure that they understand that we have welfare state also for corporations, businesses that make billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I think if they understood that although we supposedly have the highest tax rate for businesses in the world, they don't pay it.
Yeah.
And so we subsidize businesses all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
subsidize
absolutely.
Welfare.
Yeah, corporate welfare is absolutely a bigger issue. And you know, it's interesting. Everybody, they just played at the lowest common denominator, like Me Too kind of thing, because they were saying a lot of people in the Tea Party, they think, oh, no, not like my Social Security, Medicare, because I earned that. It's those other people. And there's a racist element to it. There's a lot of.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, dumb crook stack before we go.
Okay.
Police in Pennsylvania say trail of curly fries led to suspect. They found a suspected groper of a fast food worker by following a trail of curly fries. A female employee at Arby's called police saying she was groped by a man as she handed over his order at the drive-thru window.
Huh.
The employee gave the police a description of the car, which was found outside a motel less than a mile away. They spotted a trail of Arby's curly fries and sauce from the vehicle. Horsey sauce, which is very helpful.
Yeah, okay.
In finding him.
Yeah, curly fries are the most delicious shape of fry.
Mm-mm. Let's go to Steve in Atlanta. You know, you blurt out more useless information in a day than
I'm sorry.
Most people their entire life.
I know.
Steve in Atlanta. Hello, Steve.
Hey there. I've been listening to your show since Election Day 2008. First time I'm calling. I wanted to talk about the guy who tried to quote Bastier, and I only have one point on that, and I have another point on healthcare data. But anyway, tax subsidies for oil companies. I don't want to hear anything more about a welfare state.
Thank you.
I'm a software developer for a company that does healthcare informatics. We boil down claim and encounter data. Claim data is stuff we get from insurance companies. Encounter data is stuff that we get directly from hospitals and doctor's offices. And so the encounter data is where you find all those people that don't have insurance that go to the emergency room. Nobody ever goes to the emergency room for a cold. They wait until it escalates from bronchitis to pneumonia, and then they become a disease management patient. And so not only are we subsidizing not only are we subsidizing health care for people who don't have insurance already, we're paying more for it than we need to if we would just give them some basic safety net to be able to get some cheap antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good points. Absolutely. Let's go to Dominic in Chicago. Hey, Dom.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just have a quick thing to mention. I work for a large corporation here in the Midwest. We're all union members here. And what we've discovered the corporation is doing is they're counting on Obamacare to succeed. What they are doing is that they're negotiating their health plans with union members. They're basically leaving the health plan alone for 2 years until like 2015. And then they're switching to a plan with a very large deductible so that the employees literally can't afford to stay on their plan, and they're going to be forced onto the exchanges because it's cheaper to go on the exchanges than it would be to stay with a company insurance plan. So the company is meeting their legal obligation, but they're still pawning us off onto Obamacare. So they're, in a sense, hoping, counting on Obamacare to succeed.
Yeah, well, and that's what you got to keep your eyes on, what companies and the insurance companies are doing mm-hmm. to benefit themselves and screw you. By the way, don't be screwed. Go to get tickets for Seattle now, sexyliberal.com. Tickets are going fast. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.